When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is iFanboy Pick of the Week 885, brought to you by iFanboy listeners just like you. Not you, but you.
Me?
You.
Oh, hi.
Maybe I'm a scoundrel, baby. Maybe I'm a stranger in your bed. Maybe I can hold my heartache down with a cigarette in my hand. Maybe I'm a drunken sailor. What you gonna do?
My name is Connor Kilpatrick. Hey, this is my co-host Josh Flanagan. He survived.
People have been sending me messages all week.
I may have overplayed.
Yeah, you did. Josh, hope you're doing okay. I was like, I'm fine.
I just said you were going through it. I said you were having a tough time at the moment we were recording, which was true.
It's true. And it's funny, is like, so I had a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Like, and which was fine, but the day before is fucking awful.
And we were recording that night. And what was funny was, leading up to it the whole time, you were like, no, it'll be fine. I'll be able to do it. And I was like, you're not going to be able to do it to show, Josh. You're like, no, I'll be fine. And then the morning, the halfway through the day, you were like, I'm not going to be able to do the show. I was like, I know you're not. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it started with the fact that, like, I didn't read my books. And I was like, well, I'm not working today, so I don't have anything to do. I'll read my books. And I was like, I can't seem to do this part.
No, can't focus on that. Yeah.
No.
It was fine. You know, this is a good public service announcement. If you're a man listening to the show in his...
Or woman.
40s, it's both. That's true. But men tend to not do it.
Yeah.
In your 40s and 50s, and you're eligible, go get a colonoscopy. I did mine a couple months ago. Josh did his.
We talked about it a lot. I thought it was very healthy.
Yeah.
We had a whole
Slack discussion for about 4 days about it.
It's still going. Oh, boy. It's been going on for months.
Do you miss the nap?
You know what? I thought that you guys had oversold it. And then I got there and I was talking to the nurse. I was like, my friends say that the nap is pretty fantastic. She goes, oh, it's the best. And I was like, it can't. I mean, sure. Because I have been under anesthesia before and it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But not the propofol. Like I saw the point that they were like, okay, we're going to. I was like, oh, they're going to put me to, where am I? Like, it was like that, man. Like, and I, for whatever reason, I don't know if this is it, but for the rest of the day, I was cloud nine. Like, I was talking to all the nurses. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man, well, you got kids? How's that? Oh, yeah. Everyone. I like your shoes.
I think they're used to that because I was very similar. I kept trying to talk to everybody as soon as they brought me back.
Really?
And they were just like, okay, we're busy. It's like,
If you were to take my phone and look at my text messages for the latter half of that day, I was sending everybody just books, like people I haven't talked to in years. I was like, I'm just trying to reach out and connect, man.
That's awesome. Well, here we are. I'm glad you went through it. And everyone should do it.
7 years.
Good for your health. So Josh is back. He's fine.
I'm totally fine.
I would assume that people who are patrons would have known you were fine because then you were on the hangout like 48 hours later. But
yeah.
Anyway. Hey.
I appreciate the concern. I do. But
this is iFanboy Pick of the Week episode 885. We didn't even get to that part. We didn't even make it two lines into the script.
Well, we had material. I mean, our lives.
Every week, one of us picks the book they like the best from their stack of comics. We call it the pick of the week. We're going to talk about that book and other books from the week and a patron pick, hopefully listener mail. And here's your spoiler warning. Exercise some caution this week. Josh had the pick after his procedure.
Pick of the week was She-Hulk number 177 by iFanboy Favorite, Rainbow Roll, art by Andre Genolet, color by D. Cuniff. And letters by who else? Big Joey C.
I've been seeing D. Cuniff a lot more lately.
Yes.
I mean, D's been around a while, but I've been seeing the name a lot more, and a lot of books are talking about.
Yeah, I not an awesome week of comics. It wasn't bad. There was a couple of stinkers, but you know, it just, you know, comics were fine, which stood out because, I mean, this was going on for a while, but we've had a pretty good run. Honestly, the last month or so, I feel like a lot of good stuff happened there.
Every week we were like, oh, this is great. And then we finally hit it.
Yep. So, I mean, I bring it back to just like I read through the book and I enjoyed it. And then, you know, but I was just in it. You know, I was just reading. And then I got to the last page the thing that happens on the last page. And I was like, this book is great. That was my thought. Like, I wanted to send Rainbow an email. Now, we're not friends. I just interviewed her once, but I wanted to be like, this is just great. You need to know this. Which, you know, would have been nice.
This is the first time it's been the pick of the week this year. And it got a couple last year. Well, it might be more than a couple, actually, I think. But it's just really good. And it doesn't mean like a flashy thing's going to always happen that really catches your eye or a big shocking moment. But it's just really solid characterization. She finds interesting and frustrating positions to put Jennifer into. And she's got a stable of really strong artists who handle what is essentially a romance superhero comic really, really well and keep the action dynamic, even though it's mostly just people talking to each other.
Well, so what I was going to say, I think that this is an extremely strong character drama. Like, I care what happens to these people. And as I was just flipping through this, trying to figure out what I was going to talk about, because that's how we roll around here. I got to say, if you took the letters out of it and you gave me no context for this, this is the most boring comic book I've ever seen. Literally, shot after shot of people talking in the exact same place and not moving. But the fact is, everything works if you do it okay. Mm-hmm. Even the breaking the rules and doing the wrong thing, because I would tell you, 99 times out of 100, if your book is literally just people in street clothes talking, it's not going to be a successful comic book. But I did not see it. I did not notice it. I followed it just as if I was watching a TV show or whatever. And I think that's what's really interesting about André Genelet is the facial acting and the posture and everything says a ton. And I think a lot of the work here isn't being done with composition and design and splash pages, but little things like posture and facial expressions. And, you know, they're working hand in hand with the dialogue and with the pacing. And it's very claustrophobic. A lot of especially the second half of the book, like, you are just in on these two characters, this will they or won't they kind of thing. And I think I really thought that she would.
Yeah, I think that's part of the brilliance of this issue is that we've been edging into this love triangle between Jennifer, Jack of Hearts, and this new guy.
Oh, he's got a name. He is the Scoundrel. Or Scoundrel. I don't think the
Scoundrel. Well, Scoundrel's his villain name.
Right.
And, when you're in serialized storytelling, you have to put your characters through a ringer of emotions. And, if she had, I wouldn't have been mad at her because. No. Jack's been distant, and he keeps disappearing for long stretches and doesn't tell her what he's doing. And
it's every time she needs him,
he's gone.
Yeah.
And in the grand tradition of serialized storytelling, like, if this was real life, I'd be mad at her. But I'm not. This is I know what the deal is here. We're watching a story, and so if she had succumbed to the not inconsiderable charms of the Scoundrel, I wouldn't have been mad. But she also doesn't. She tosses him through a wall.
Well, the thing is, I don't think that she. I don't think that, like, he charmed her necessarily as, like, they have some sort of connection.
They have chemistry.
They both know it, and it's a thing, but what he does wrong is wear those shoes on the very last page. And I thought, well, look at him. Of course he's an asshole. Look at those tasseled loafers. It's not my style, is what I'm saying.
It's not your style for sure, but is he from Spain?
I don't know. He could be. If he's European, then it's fine.
He gives off Euro vibes.
I can get that. I tend to not read the characters with much of an accent if they write it. Either way, the thing is that she's and we are equivocating as well. He's just stealing stuff you know, rich people stuff that's going to other people and who really cares. And then the last page, you find out, well, he's stealing bomb parts. And so that ambiguity firms right. up a little bit.
He's stealing the parts, but he's not setting off the bomb. He's just right. taking a job. And it's like, well.
And then it gets to the point where he's like, why would you help somebody blow up Manhattan? And he's like, why do I care? And I was like, well, that's it. And she made the obvious yeah. right choice there. And to be fair, that coming out of him then like was a little, I was like, really? You're gonna make that like, because he went hard evil. Like, I feel like if nothing else, he's not that stupid to say it.
I don't know if he went hard evil. I mean, it's an evil act, but he's just kind of like, what do I care? I hate New York.
Yeah, but you're making it possible for somebody to kill however many millions of people. So
yeah, but he's clearly a sociopath. I mean, I don't know. It's just, yes. It was more, it seems to me so over the top that it was almost silly. Like, eh, I don't care. I live in Europe.
You notice that that She-Hulk here is wearing a hardcore Shiv Roy outfit in this?
Well, just a pantsuit, Josh. Yeah, that's what women in the business wear.
No, but it's like, it's baggy in places and it's sort of it's chic. I could see, like, close your eyes for a second. You can see Shiv wearing that.
Sure. I liked the opening with the Fantastic Four. I think they're, you know, she was once a member. And it says here, like, she says the Fantastic Four, the team Jen desperately wants to membership, what is it? Like to join. It's like, well, she wasn't in the FF, but
yeah. Well, you know, when you're out and you come back in or whatever.
I like the tea. I like them in the, you know, sort of her family too, that she goes to for help. And
yeah,
Ben's been in and out of this book the whole time anyway. And look, he's part of her fight club. I like
look at this ridiculous tiny conference room they're in. You have two giant people.
It's true.
It's the smallest.
It's really small.
Yeah. And these and are not
I always
the same.
Like the stuff with the law firm. I like the android. I like the jokes mm-hmm. on the chalkboard. I like all that stuff.
I actually really like that Fantastic Four scene because she's off. And somewhere between the dialogue and, you know, her face and like you can tell she's off.
And took it back.
Mad and they don't treat her quite fairly, but everything seems a little worse. She's very mean to her boss.
She was. That was a little yeah. over the top.
Yeah. But it all sort of makes sense. She's having one of those days, and now the thing that was giving her any sort of joy, which was a guilty joy too, which sort of explains sort of her whole
for sure.
Her whole thing. Oh, and the next cover she's wearing what seemed to be Christian Louboutin shoes. So
she liked the attention. She liked yes. the excitement of this new handsome guy flirting with her. Mm-hmm. Even if she did feel guilty about it, she liked it. And,
sure.
And now she's and that leads her to be probably more angry than she would normally
yeah.
in the situation. So it's just a book that's full of really interesting human relationships. And uh-huh. we have recently been talking about how comics have been over-indexing on talking and less on action. But this is mm-hmm. a book that's okay because that's the whole point of the book.
But that it's doing it well. Yeah. You can break the rule all you want if it's compelling. And they did, so who cares?
It was very good. Mm-hmm. This was one of the, like you said earlier, like I think this was like a middling week. It was like there was some okay books and there was some not okay books, but She-Hulk was one of the better ones. And I also really enjoyed The Amazing Spider-Man 922. It probably would have been my pick, but I didn't have to make it, so I didn't really make a choice.
It was there.
Look at that cover. Look at that Doc Ock. He's so happy.
So, I mean, the thing about this is that this is like a perfect combination of classic roots Spider-Man. We're talking, mm-hmm. you know, Romita Sr., you know, 70s, just sort of silly and crazy and throwing it at it with all the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, this is Dr. Octopus. This is not postmodern Dr. Octopus. This is not, you know, him trying to figure out if he's a hero or not.
Right.
He's an angry, mad scientist. And he's evil and vengeful, and he's a real threat, even though he looks ridiculous. However, I will tell you that this contained my favorite, I think, page of the week, and certainly my favorite three panels.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't around for the Dr. Octopus arms and J. Jonah Jameson relationship that took place.
I wasn't either, so I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Well, they kind of explained it, and I was like, all right, he had the arms for a little while. And then they treated it like a dog, and then kind of treated it like a lady. a little bit as he brought the Dr. Octopus's first generation arms were somewhat sentient, as octopus arms all have little brains in them, I guess. There's a thing here. He's like, why are you acting like it's a family pet? And he's like, well, they came over. I tried to chase them off at first, but maybe I started looking forward to them coming around. Curling up on the bed, keeping my feet warm. Big Joey C, by the way, lettered the crap out of that scene there. You know, the scene that on the next page, which has Norman Osborn like mad scientisting on the arms and like, talking to himself and kind of a crazy look on his eye and the light coming up from underneath. And, you know, it was just all big, silly melodrama.
I really like the new design of his new arms that all detach into sort of semi-sentient or not semi-sentient little octopuses of their own or octopi.
Yeah.
But they come back together into his arms. It looks like octopus arms. It looks like the suckers, right?
Yeah.
All the eyes.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Look
part,
like the, you know, octopus arms. I thought the design's really cool. I like the way the arms work. I just think, you know, Dr. Octopus is such a great, silly, but awesome villain for Spider-Man.
Yeah, he does really toe that line between, like, it's ridiculous. He's a step removed from Stilt Man, but when he shows up, he really is a threat and a menace, as it were. And I like, he's formidable.
Yeah, and the fact is he and Peter and Norman all have history, so... Mm-hmm. At the end here, when all three of them are in a sort of a big brawl, there's more at stake here than just a regular thing because they, you know,
and it's all been. It is so like hardcore soap opera that Norman Osborn was once the greatest villain and is now the greatest ally, you know, and we just accept it. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a real world thing that would happen.
No.
Like, he was as far and, you know, and also, like, he's not, it's not even like a mind wipe thing. He's the same guy. You know, like he's like, yeah, I did that. And Peter's like, it's cool, man.
He went through that whole senator situation.
It's a good explanation for it or whatever, but you know, like it. I mean, good. That's an error, but who cares? Comic books.
Right.
I really I forgot that there's like Kraven's there for like two pages, and Octopus fucked him up.
Well, he's got a movie coming out. He'll just keep popping up. I really liked, and I'm continuing liking this Ed McGuinness art because you know, he used to be known for super blocky, super bulky, you know, roid rage guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he draws his Spider-Man, and Spider-Man has muscles, but he's lean.
Yeah.
And he still does a lot of the Spider-Man pose stuff. And I just think it's an interesting look where he's very believably powerful and strong, but also still not quite McFarlane level of, you know, of leg work, but still pretty good looking stuff.
There's elements of Otley still in this that I'm kind of seeing.
Of the suit, yeah.
No, just
I mean, the way they draw Spider-Man, I mean.
Yeah, and not in a bad way. Actually, I just like it as because it's Ed McGuinness, there's an evolution there. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. So it's got that Otley thing, but it's also got, you know, like Neil Adams type panel compositions. And there's a lot of like classic stuff, like breaking the borders and that, you know, foreshortening and coming towards us, all that sort of Kirby stuff, and then low angles and everything. And then Mark Farmer is inking this. Mark Farmer had, you know, sort of Alan Davis's inker forever. He can't be a young man anymore.
I think he's 87 years old.
Yeah, like, look at it. There's an inker on this, and it shows. It's so good. It gives it that feel.
It has a texture that non-inked art doesn't have. It's just the case. There's no way around it. It looks better with the inker.
Well, it looks like classic Marvel comics with the cross-hatching and the lines and like the stuff that, when I was a kid, blew me away the most. Was, you know, you'd look at the drawing, and then you would sort of zoom in and you'd see all the lines and how they made the textures with it. And I just, those just little hash marks on stuff, you know, that fill a drawing out, have always I've loved them. And I do here.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it a lot, but if you follow Mark Morales' Instagram, he posts a lot of inking videos, and you can see him adding those textures that aren't in the pencils to the art, and you can see what he's bringing to the table when he does
I wonder if these two old timers are doing this analog.
Maybe.
I cannot tell. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. That's just my instinct. I can't really put a finger on why. But did you look at the letters page in this one?
No.
So the very last letter, there's a guy and he proposes to his girlfriend.
Okay.
Derek from Queens. They don't put his address. and Nick Lowe of Astoria, Queens, who lived down the street from me. He moved in there while I was there. I had a burger with him once and then we never got together again. Must've been me. Anyway, there's this picture and the girl that these people look like they're about 19 and she is gifting him a copy of, she had given him a copy of Amazing Fantasy number 15.
Whoa.
And I kept zooming in trying to see what the rating is on it, because if that is above 5,
that's an expensive gift.
Yeah. That's like at least 5 figures.
Jesus.
And if it's above that, it's a ton. So who knows who's paying for that?
It looks like it's in good shape.
It does. It does. And it looks like a high number. And that's not like a... Anyway.
None
and
of
he's wearing a shirt
money.
Of it.
Yeah, Mark Farmer is 66 years old.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. He's probably pushing 70.
I forgot. He was also the anchor on JLA with Howard Porter.
He's great.
He's a great anchor.
The thing is this. It's not even that people don't put anchors on books anymore. But the great anchors are aging out and they're not being replaced.
Well, there's no one, you know, it's like they'll, it's
yeah.
when
there's
you don't,
no, there's no new
train
anchors.
Any new anchors because there's no need for that anymore.
There's no new anchors. Yeah. It's literally going to go away. And people are still going, they're like, oh, we still ink digitally or whatever. It's like, it doesn't look like that. It's not
the same. It's not the same. What to make of Action Comics 1056?
Well, let's take this in pieces.
Yeah.
First story, Ex Machina, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Rafa Sandoval and Max Rayner. I really like this story because it's ridiculous.
The story is good. I thought the execution was not of this particular story. I thought it was a mess from an art standpoint. I like Rafa Sandoval a lot, but it was like it was a series of double page spreads. The action was muddled. There was way too many characters, way too many things happening on the pages. I had a hard time following it. There was so much going on. I kept losing the plot. I was like, hey, who got ripped in half here? There's Superman, there's Cyborg Superman. They're all, you know, they look similar when they're all shadowy. Like it was very confusing. And I thought it was, I just thought this issue was emblematic of the problems of this book, which is just way too much, too much, too much, too much.
I don't think that you're wrong. I think that everything you say is true. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for that bombast. Like it was to me, there was too much happening, but it's called Action Comics. Superman can be depicted as boring. And this is just, and I also like this, you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of sort of an episode of the animated series because one thing that show did really well was it human? I can't believe I'm talking about this. Like I've never had these thoughts, but now as I'm saying it, it humanized the villains on show really well, better than most of the comics do.
Yep.
And the way that we had Metallo go through this, and then the thing with his sister, and you know how Hank Henshaw shows up and he's so much worse than them, and then the epilogue, the cap on the end of it, you know, was really sweet, melodramatic to be sure, but. You know, it worked for me, I think, in that way. It reminded me of an episode of Superman the Animated Series, my favorite of the animated series, is easily.
There's a good case to make it the best one, but yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just too much. It's when you have to cram in at this point, you know, you're adding in Metallo and his sister and Eradicator and Cyborg Superman and the 15 people in the Super Family into 20 pages. I mean, it's just, there's, I mean, looking at this double page spread, it's got 2, 4, 6, 8, like 14 panels and there's like 10 characters. It's just, there's a lot going on.
Tell you what,
it's
though,
really hard to follow.
I like that they're not trying to cram in a story about it, all those people standing there. So at least if they're there, they shut up and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want them to stay, but if you're going to at least keep things moving, so I don't have to watch them walk around a kitchen and talk about.
It's just tough. Like this. In the old days, I know it's not the old days anymore, but it would have been a double. This Action Comics would have been an oversized comic, which it is. It's got backups, but those backup pages would have helped, you know, give more breathing room to this story, which is tough.
How do you feel about the middle story? Dan Jurgens, Lee Weeks, and in from the cold, Elizabeth Breitweiser. And apparently she's got a long history of working with Lee Weeks, so I guess he Got her in there.
I think she's been coloring the whole story.
Yeah.
I was more into it in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Once the turn happened with that villain, I got less interested. I've just been waiting for Clark to save the day, which is he's coming to do now. But I'm mostly reading it for the art at this point.
I am too. And I think that's, you know, but I'm also like, Dan Juergens is going to get a pass from me. I'm never going to come along and be like, Dan Juergens fucked this up. I'm like, all right, whatever. So you can do what you want. You've earned it.
He still writes great comics. Yes. We've been enjoying his work. I just, this particular one wasn't as interesting once it got further along.
I really like that as this kept going on, I feel like Lee Weeks was getting further and further off model of what we thought Superman was going to look like. And then sort of by the middle ending part of it, I was like, this just looks like a tough guy from the 50s. And I loved it. Like,
yeah,
it was
interesting because I don't even know what Superman this is supposed to be.
I don't care.
Well, because at one point, Juergens and Lee Weeks were doing a book featuring these characters, but it wasn't the Superman from the first story. It was the other Superman from the other world. So he's older.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that's this guy or if this is the other. Like, it's just – because remember that one point they merged him into one – they took all the different Supermen, they merged them into one character, and, you know, Cosmic Wacky Button got pushed, and Grant Morrison Superman got merged with this guy, and I don't know if this is post-merge or pre-merge or what. So maybe this is the older pre-merge Superman, which is why he looks that way.
I do feel like this is the older one when they first arrived in this world, and they're aware that they're from a different world before the merge. I think that's how I looked at it.
Yeah. I mean, it may not be. People may be, you know, emailing us right now, but it just, that's how it feels. It feels like a different Superman, from the pre-52 version that got through whatever happened. I blocked almost all that out.
I at some point I became a Lee Weeks fanboy.
He's great. He's always been
so good. Yeah. And then there was a third story.
I skipped it. I didn't even read it.
Yes, I'm not reading it. It is not ready for primetime art. There is a panel in here, which is one of the worst panels I have seen in like mainstream comics in a while, which is saying something. Mr. Terrific and John Henry Irons get in a fight, and it's on page 30 of the digital reader. It's the third page of the story.
It
doesn't make any sense anatomically.
Yeah, and I get that you've got the people who are coming up have to start somewhere and have to learn somewhere, but it's tough when they're in Action Comics.
It's in Action Comics. This is the big leagues, no matter what. This is not training. Also, I read like the first three pages, and I was like, why is Mr. Terrific acting like this? Why are they fighting? None of this tracks.
Right.
Like these two guys? I'm not saying they're going to be buddies just because they happen to be black superheroes or whatever, but I'm feeling like there's an understanding.
I think they're buddies because they're both incredibly genius.
That too. There's all sorts of reasons for them to get along in the world. They have a lot in common, and not the kind of a lot in common that makes them not like each other.
Right.
But the kind that would make them like each other.
Yeah. I've read part one. This is part three. I think I skimmed two and I just was like, nope. And then I just skipped part three.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that third story, they just let it rip on anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, for me, like when there's extra stories, I'm not in it for the extra stories. I'm in it for the main story. And the extra stories are like bonus. If it's good, great. If it's not, I just skip it. I don't feel like I'm
losing out. By the way, if there's anything more Golden Age Action Comics than a great story, an okay story, and a terrible story,
that's
it's
true.
That. Because that was like we got 10 pages to fill in.
We need a couple of one
pages.
What do you
want to put
though?
There? Who cares? You know, just like you got to fill the pages. It doesn't matter if it's any good.
I remember they used to do, this might have been in Detective Comics or Batman, but they used to do, it was in the Bronze Age. They do one page Commissioner Gordon mysteries.
Oh, that's so good.
Where he would solve a mystery in one page.
It was love it.
Awesome. Anyway.
I love it. There's no way they were good, but they were great.
There was a bunch of Batman comics this week, including Tom King and Mitch Gerrard's continuing on Batman the Brave and the Bold, reimagining the first issue of Batman. But my favorite Batman comic this week was Batman the Adventures Continue, which I keep calling The Adventure Continues, but it's not that.
That's
The Adventures
Williams.
Continue. Season 3, issue 6, they've been doing these continuations of Batman the Animated Series, and this has got a Doc Shaner cover drawn in the animated style, which is pretty cool.
Hey now.
And These are great. This is Alan Burnett, Paul Dini writing, Ty Templeton drawing. These guys have been doing these characters in this way for 30 years. I'm glad Ty Templeton's still getting work.
Plus, you got a Kubert in there.
Monica Kubert's on colors. I don't know if she's or how she's related, but
I bet she is.
I'm sure she is, but maybe I don't know who she is, but that's cool. And this is great. This is a start of a new arc where after the events of the last arc, crime seems to be way down in Gotham. So Tim convinces Bruce to go on vacation. So they go to one of the Caribbean resorts that Bruce's company owns. And it's just them and a bunch of models because they're all trying to catch Bruce's eye. This is a very classic. And then turns out Talia's there. And turns out that Ra's al Ghul, his ship is docked off the coast and he wants to talk. And Ra's is dying. He's gone one too many times to the Lazarus Pit well, and he's aging rapidly. And then Bruce and Talia sleep together. Like, it's just really very classic Batman. And there's a subplot with Catwoman running away from somebody, and she's really badly injured. She runs to Harley and Poison Ivy's house. But just felt super fun. We talked about the animated stuff earlier with Superman. I just love this world. Ty Templeton is such a great artist. He really captures that feel without making it look stiff. And I can hear all these voices in my head, all these actors. Just really fun. Batman is so, it's mired in so much baggage these days. And it seems to be the stuff that's happening outside the main continuity is the best. And this, I just really thought it was great. It was just like, oh yeah, this is a Bruce Wayne that still knows how to have a good time. Like, mm-hmm. isn't so emotionally crippled that he can't go have a drink at a resort with Talia, you know, and flirt with her. Like, this was fun. I just really liked it. I'm really glad these guys are still trucking along with this book.
As a follow-up, mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen this before. I believe there are no Monica Kuberts on the internet.
Interesting.
Yeah. Is a Katie Kubert, obviously. She's third generation. Did that other book. But I found nothing. But I didn't try that hard, and I'm in the middle of doing a show.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really put together a full murder board because you're in the middle of recording.
You think?
It was easy when it was three otherwise. Of us. When it was three of us, you know, you and Ron could be talking about something, and I could just go over here for a minute.
I mean, let's be honest. Ron was 30% with us at most at any given time.
That's true.
You could hear him just typing constantly, which drove us insane. I don't know that it affected his performance. I didn't feel like he wasn't there, but we could hear that he wasn't there.
And that was it. I don't know what the hell to make a Green Arrow.
I literally went back to the first page because I was like, this can't be Josh Williamson. This was a terrible book.
Sean Isaacs, whose art is really strong, but I just don't know what the point of this book is.
I don't know who any of these people are. Listen, I'm not the world's biggest Connor Hawke fan, but I feel like that's wrong. I feel like it's all wrong. I don't know who this girl is. It's
Dawn of DC was, you know, it seemed like it was sort of like let's sort of reset some of these people. I'm not saying as a reboot or anything, but like, let's sort of get back to basics. That may or may not been their point, but that's what it felt like. And this felt like we're just the opposite of that. And I don't necessarily mind taking a character like Green Arrow and putting him in a sci-fi setting. That was kind of interesting in the first issue, was he was sort of lost in time in the future. But as we've gone with each issue, it's not coalescing into any kind of story that is compelling at the least. We have Peacemaker and Peace Wrecker. Is that her name or whatever it is?
His sidekick
fighting with Dinah and Roy. And it's just for no reason I can figure out other than something to do with Amanda Waller. And in the future, Oliver and Connor reunite. And then is that his other daughter? Is that who she is?
I don't know.
I don't know. And then the Legion of Superheroes show up.
The reveal is that like they're not allowed to be together. The world is going to end or whatever it is. Connor Hawke was the coolest looking character, and he's not. He looked so cool. for the longest time. And now I don't know. There's the bunch of dialogue that shows up around the time that they drop into the Legion era and see, you know, Connor. It just didn't work. I was like, it didn't sound like Oliver to me talking. You had a page where you do the page turn and Oliver hugs his son or whatever. And I was just like, this is completely unearned. I felt nothing. And this is me. This is a man who drops at fatherhood love at the drop of a hat.
It gets
nothing. But this didn't work.
I don't understand what the point of this is. And I think Josh Williamson is doing some really interesting work overall.
Yeah, no, but he's money. He's a DC superheroes master. And I don't know what's going on here. I
wish Tom Taylor had taken this book because his Green Arrow is right.
So what's weird though is that like at the same time, like we have a pretty solid Hal Jordan Green Lantern book. Mm-hmm. I almost don't care how good it is because it's Hal Jordan. I mean, I care, but like, you know, it's good enough. It's fun to watch this character again. That Roots thing that you were talking about. It's like, oh, I recognize this guy.
Right.
And I don't recognize this, but not even that. Like, it's not giving me anything. Do people like Peacemaker?
Or people are we just like the show?
Okay. But
people seem to like the show. They seem to like him in the movie. I didn't like the movie. I didn't watch the show. I don't need him to be in every book, but he's in every book.
No. I don't feel like, also like, is it, I mean, I get corporate synergy or whatever, but like, is it moving the needle to put him in the books? It isn't. It's not selling books. It's not.
People don't see Peacemaker on the cover and go, ooh, I'm going to pick up Green Arrow for number 3.
Like, they're not going to sell books to people who like the show and don't read comics. It's not going to happen.
No.
So I don't get it.
And the big cliffhanger is Parallax is back looking like Hal. I don't know. This is such a
Parallax was a bad guy.
Yeah.
Before. But was he like, he was just normal. Like
Parallax was Hal Jordan. That was his bad guy name when he turned evil.
Right, but it wasn't like a straight.
It was retconned later.
Right, but it wasn't like a straight up, like he became Parallax and became evil, was it? Did he become mad?
When he lost his mind, you know, and killed all the Green Lanterns.
Sure.
He made this suit with the cape and everything, and then he started calling himself Parallax.
Mm-hmm.
And so
find out later that there was actually the yellow impurity that made him do that.
Yeah. Jeff Johns retconned it. But back in the 90s, he was just bad.
Uh-huh.
Because they were trying to push Kyle Rayner. And so they had to shuffle Hal off the Buffalo.
I like Kyle Rayner. I liked that era of comics. I love Ron Mars as a comic book writer and a rad dude. It's terrible. And he's allowed to do it in his book. And since then, nobody else is. That's what I think. Anyway, it's just a
weird, weird comic. Like I finished it and I was like, what is happening here?
It's not good. And I say that like I hate saying it because I think Josh Williamson's work is perfect for DC superheroes. And I just, no. Feels like work for hire.
Why can't this book go off with the Night Terrors for 2 months?
Yeah. I don't know.
There's not gonna be a lot of DC talk going forward, by the way, once July and August kicks in.
So on a sort of whim, I picked up Bryn Mawr, number one from IDW, writer Steve Niles, the artist Damian Worm with assist by Alizia Zerno, great guy, Taylor Esposito on colors. It is a horror story because that's what Steve Niles does.
Yep.
However, I thought I'm going to check it out for a little bit and keep reading. And I never stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It was, first of all, as far as I can tell, there was no horror or supernatural of any kind in this book. The very last page features a mysterious door. That's it.
Okay.
And what you have is this guy who was part of an old timey family on some island community. Could be Martha's Vineyard, could be a place in Maine. I don't know. George Clooney was taking a boat out of there with John C. Reilly and Mark Wahlberg is what it looks like.
Oh boy. Costa.
Yeah. And Coast Guard says you gotta go out. They didn't say I gotta come back in.
That's Chad.
I know. Can you listen? My coworker
lives around there, and he on a call the other day he mentioned going to a festival in Gloucester, and I just shuddered.
Yeah.
Just luckily couldn't see me shudder, but I shuddered. I was like, that's Gloucester. Where the big wave was.
So anyway, No, that was off the coast of Newfoundland. It was more like,
what I'm saying is the boat left Gloucester, went to the big wave. I can't stop thinking about the wave.
The Grand Banks, man. Wolfgang Peterson. We were talking about
movie. Solid movie.
That's terrifying, another natural disaster movie. Terrifying. Great stuff. Movie. Also, but really captured the life of, we are on it today, aren't we?
Well, like, it's not a good week.
Living on the fishing boat. But anyway, the point being, like, there's family history and stuff, and people in town don't like him, and then he meets the cute girl who lives next door. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was interesting. It was like just spending time with a guy going through a thing, you know. It's really basic, but I really enjoyed it. And I was like, I would just read this. I'm going to read about this guy's adventure going back to this little island town. You know, he's building, he bought an old church and he is, you know, converting it into like, it's going to be his house. That's what he's doing there. And he's a loner, blah, blah, blah.
So you were disappointed when the magical doors showed up.
I mean, I knew like it's a zombie or whatever on the cover. And that's what Steve Niles does.
Right.
But I wasn't disappointed because there was much less of it than I expected. So, you know, it was all bonus. I'll read the next one.
Let's test your neuroplasticity. What was the book that brought Steve Niles to prominence like 20 years ago?
I know it is about vampires in the Arctic or Antarctic. Mm-hmm. And Ben Temple Smith was the artist. And there was a movie. I don't remember it.
I think Midnight, you and I saw it together.
Something. I don't remember what the title
30 Days of Night.
30 Days of Night. I knew Night was in there.
It featured the killer premise of vampires going to the Arctic where there's no daytime.
I mean, I remembered what the book was and who did it, which is probably better than the title, but yeah.
Speaking of titles, that's not terrible segue. They all have titles. Silver Surfer Ghost Light number 5, the final issue. I want to just talk about this and mention this series because it was such a strange series. The tone was caught between like almost trying to ape the 60s, but be modern. But I liked it. The book, John Jennings wrote it. Valentine DeLandro was terrific art. That was the big sell for me. Valentine, assume he's male, showed up for a couple pages on Cyborg, and I was like, ooh, I'd be more into this book if Valentine DeLandro was drawing it. But it just ended up being this big, wacky, goofy science sci-fi adventure. And at one point, they had Silver Surfer do something I've never seen before, which was take his board and use it like a steel chair in a wrestling match and just whack on this guy with it. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen him like wail on dudes with his board before. And it was good. It was a little family adventure that brought a character back from the old days of Marvel. And the tone was strange, but I liked it.
I dropped off. I think I got to one of the issues and I was like, I don't remember if I read the last one. And then I was like, I'm not super compelled. It was one of those things like I felt like I should read it more than I wanted to read it. And then that was it.
You know, the writing, I don't know if you were on the show. I definitely talked about it with Ryan where it's at times the writing felt weird. Like the characters, the kids were too smart and the characters were always sort of, again, like 60s style, the characters were always sort of shouting everything, but it was fun. It was a different kind of Silver Surfer story where this was more like his buddy and it wasn't like a big cosmic thing. While it was dealing with cosmic threats, it was all sort of happening on land and in America. And it was a very different kind of story. I liked it. I liked the experiment. I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but I liked it.
That's fine.
Worth mentioning. If you are a Silver Surfer fan, it's a very different kind of story. So somehow we went this long talking about books we didn't all, you know, super love, but that's the way the show goes.
This is like the most complaining I've done about a book.
We try not to. That's the whole point of the show, is talk about the books we enjoyed, but it would have been a short show.
There were other books that I didn't like that I left out because I didn't want to talk about it. But I really did feel like Green Arrow specifically needed to be called out because, I mean, you and I are looking forward to that. And it just is boggling.
Here's the good news, Josh. It's time for the Patreon pick. So those are the books we want to talk about, but at patreon.com/iFanboy, every patron has the ability and the superpower to vote to add a book to the rundown. And this week, the overwhelming favorite was The Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos, number 1 from Dark Horse Comics, written by Tate Bromball, art by Isaac Goodhart, colors by Miguel Muerto, letters by Adita Baker, and a story idea by James Tinney in the 4th. And this is coming from his, I was going to say Glass Onion, but his Tiny Onion imprint. that he brought over from Substack to Dark Horse. He has several books going under that imprint.
Yeah.
I thought this was a Tinian book, but it wasn't. It's just his story idea.
Yeah. And he published it, I guess, more or less.
But I'm saying I initially thought it was his book. Anyway, I did not like this comic. Sam, I am.
Yeah, nope. Let's move along.
It was not good. Not good. Not good,
right.
Bob.
It, do you know why it's not good? And if not, let's figure
it
out.
Hold on. So there's a kid in high school, and he's an outcast. It's maybe because he wears steampunk goggles to school, just throwing it out there. There's strange happenings. He has these strange powers where he can see the sort of hidden truths. He sees the formulas. He sees the hidden connections. He can make things better, like VCRs or whatever, but sometimes they blow up. And he's got this strange ability that he can't get a hold of that makes him morose. And then his buddy and his crush at school, who, do you think he made that jacket? Because I don't think they give varsity jackets to the drama club. But
that was like in this book, the jock who is loved is the big actor, but he looked the part of the. I actually don't mind that as a like the twist on something. In this world, it's the thing.
Listen, yeah. Since I was in high school. Maybe they do that now, but
I assume he played. Well, yeah, no, I mean, I assume they're nicer. I mean, not nicer, but they're mean for different things now.
No, they're just mean in general. They're monsters.
Yeah, but, no, people. Yeah.
And so this kid goes out into the woods, and our protagonist follows him, and turns out he is a werewolf, his crush, and a werewolf gets shot by a lot of
cult members,
all white cult members. It seemed like a very heavy-handed metaphor for marginalized communities in today's world.
Yes,
even what was the name of these white guys exactly? I can't find the page where they say what the name is, but something very heavy-handed, like the white knights or something.
Okay.
Oh, the white hunters. I was like, okay, this is very heavy-handed.
But
and not,
so there's
not
that,
well,
and then the other side of it is that it's just this kid who's supposed to be a super genius. I don't know. I thought I was like, I don't know, maybe he's like supposed to be neurodivergent, but I don't think it's that. I think it's like it's neurodivergence. That is a metaphor for sexuality. I'm not really sure. There's getting to be quite a bunch of new characters who are queer in some way, and they all kind of look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that's about. I feel like that's sort of the opposite of what people should say. Like, not everyone is the same. They don't look the same. It's not who you think, you know, you get whatever. But like, there's an aesthetic here. Like, this kind of is not super far from Superboy's boyfriend.
Right.
You know, just kind of this. I mean, it's called oddly. The book is oddly pedestrian. It's odd, but everything in it is completely pedestrian.
You don't want to name. You don't want to give any ammunition by naming your book like that. It's like when a movie is called something that you can write about it being a bomb.
Anything to do with a bomb. Yeah.
Right. It just don't give any ammunition to your critics, because it just wasn't. It was very kind of. And the Isaac Goodhart art I thought was serviceable.
Yes. I didn't like the design of the character, I guess, but
the storytelling was good. There was some interesting fisheye lens stuff when action happened. Like
the bits where he goes into the garage and he creates the zombie pigeon and all the machinery. That was kind of Jack Kirby in there, a little of that. You know, he goes full Frankenstein at some point. Here's the thing is right now, what's the plot? What's the fucking plot of this book?
I don't know.
Things happen, but I don't know what the story is at all.
Yeah.
Things happen.
And then on the last page, it's like some dude from like this 1500 shows up to find the zombie penguin. I was like, I don't know what's happening in this book at all.
But, and I don't want to.
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's really the key. Again, do whatever you want. Do it badly. Or do whatever dumb things, break all the rules, but make it good. And... No.
You know what? There's too much going on here.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to say. I think you take out either the white hunters / werewolf part, or you take out the zombie penguin part, or penguin, the zombie pigeon part. But you don't do both.
They are
too many ideas. in one
issue. They're trying to say something more than they are trying to tell a story.
Right.
That's what's going on here. And it's not subtle. It's not well crafted.
Yeah, it's very, very heavy.
It's not interesting. It's a jumble, which, if done just right, will indicate a feeling, will indicate some sort of, you know, something, a character that you're trying to get at. But, it, you know, you got to craft it. It doesn't work. It's not, yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't like,
it wasn't offensively bad. Like, there was way worse art this week. The art was
professional
and good. The story wasn't bad. It just was boring. And
there was no story.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, the plot was too jam-packed, and it was kind of dull. And it was like, okay, the metaphors here are very obvious. And it was, yeah, I don't know.
And also, because, and I will do this because it needs to be said, neither of us have any problem with the story about a queer character or people trying to work out their things like that. But a boring metaphor is a boring metaphor. And the story is told by a lot of people very well. And so if you're going to, if you need to do it for yourself and that helps and makes you feel better or whatever, or it makes somebody who reads it feel better. But from a craft standpoint, it wasn't interesting. Like, I can get these messages in lots of places, and I should, and we all should.
I'm just looking through while you're talking. I was totally listening. And it just, there's so much random things that happen. I think that's my biggest problem, is there's no connective tissue to the story. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at the part where he resurrects the penguin. It's not a penguin, it's a pigeon. He resurrects the pigeon, which I have to admit, I did laugh when he talked to the pigeon, became friends with the pigeon. And then the pigeon flew off and immediately got hit by a bus. I did laugh when that happened.
They J.J. Abrams that pigeon.
So anyway, he resurrects the pigeon, as you said, Frankenstein style, like literally Frankenstein style.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are sort of standing around his garage, looking at the light through the garage doors, and they're all excited. And they go, "Ah, it's just a damn pigeon. I thought it'd be something cooler." It's like, does he normally do this? Is there a reason why people gathered around his garage? Like, why are they all here? Like, just random acts of things that don't make any sense are not explained in the story. Because they just did too much in the first issue.
I think that nobody said, what's this story? What's A, where are they going to be?
Well, the editor should have said that. That's their first job.
Well, no. I mean, yes. But the writer should have thought of that. And the writer didn't think of that. And somebody else should have.
Sometimes the writer's got so much going on in their head, they lose the plot. Not literally, but like there's too much. They want to get it all down. The editor's supposed to go, you're doing too much. Let's focus this. Was the story trying to tell?
Not every writer has the luxury of having an editor or whatever. If you're a writer, then you should be able to write, and those other people are there to help you. But if you come in with a trash fire of a story, then nothing's saving that. Like, this is not a thing that you can give a couple of notes and fix. This needed to be torn down and I'm going to get a letter. But I mean. Nope, I worked at getting comics published for a long time and didn't get anywhere. And I'm not saying I'm better or worth it like that, but I was like, well, how come? I just don't understand sometimes. And maybe this person turns into a great writer because people have got to work out their bad pages or whatever. And I genuinely hope that happens. And I genuinely hope that, for example, these criticisms, which seem heavy-handed, like are taken like, you know, the way they should be.
Right.
I am offended by the books, and it's.
Well, I mean, you know why you didn't get published, Josh? Because all your comics were about James Garfield.
I'm saying, what do we know about Charlie Gâteau? Did you know that the first sort of like one of the first sort of working in home air conditioning systems was developed by the Army Corps of Engineers to cool the White House for James Garfield, who lived for a month after he was shot. Yeah. And it was like the summer in swampy DC. And so they figured out a way to fan him like and have like buckets of ice that brought the cool air in to help him. But of course, the wound separated and he died.
I'll tell you where there's not a current working air conditioner going. It's this fucking room. All right.
Yeah.
Ratings, two out of five.
1.5.
You sticking with it?
No.
No.
I almost feel like maybe I have to after all that. Like I have to read the second one. You know what? Yes. I'm going to read the next one. Benefit of the doubt. If there's improvement, if it comes together, I want to give credit.
Okay.
So I will read the next one.
If you remember.
No, I'll remember. Sometimes well, if I don't. See it. If I see it, I'll remember. But if I don't see it, I won't remember.
Patreon.com/iFanboy. If you're a patron, every patron votes set a book to the rundown. Hey, and we talk about this a lot the last couple of weeks because we just redid our whole Patreon. But patreon.com/iFanboy is the primary way people support the show. Helps us pay our show bills and keeps you know the lights on, everything going. We do appreciate that. Everyone who directly supports the show, they unlock shows for everybody. They become part of a great community on Discord and Facebook, and they get things like the monthly patron hangout to enjoy, which we did last weekend. And as we mentioned before, we now have tier-exclusive merchandise. Depending on your level of support, after 3 months of supporting us on Patreon, you'll receive it could be a Junior Jamoke t-shirt, or it could be a tote bag, or it could be a hoodie. There's also a sticker, a mug, a poster. Plus, at the $5 higher level, you get a patron power and access to the Discord server, and the $10 higher level, you get access to an ad-free feed of the show. That's right. You don't want to hear us talking about underwear or mental health? $10 or higher, you get your ad-free feed from the show. And you can find all the details at patreon.com/ifanboy. We've got a bunch of people signed up after we've made the announcement. We thank you for that. If you ever considered signing up, you can do this so now. And any level, we appreciate all the levels. So thank you very much.
Also, we're into all the levels.
Ifanboy.threadless.com is our new t-shirt store. We have a new design. When this show comes out, Pride Month will be over. But as we record, it's still Pride. We've got the iFanboy Pride shirt, and half of all the proceeds from that shirt are going to go to the It Gets Better project. A bunch of people bought those, and thanks for doing that. We'll be sending the proceeds. We'll wait a couple months to see if anybody else buys some more.
Build them up a little.
Send the proceeds over. But we have other shirts in the works, in design. And so currently there are 13 designs on t-shirts and more at ifanboy.threadless.com. Always look for summer sales from them. They're constantly doing sales around the holidays. So my guess is there'll be a sale around July 4th. So keep your eyes peeled. ifanboy.com/support. Is our direct donation via PayPal tip jar. That's for all you eccentric billionaires out there. There's so many more of you since the pandemic, and you're so much richer than you used to be. Come on.
There's got to be like one nerd who hit it with crypto real big and then sold before absolutely. He lost it.
Listen, you may be involved in a Ponzi scheme, but we'll take your crypto Ponzi scheme money in the tip jar.
Yeah, 100%.
Ifanboy.com/Amazon, that's where you can find
it. We're not going to launder your money.
No, we're not going to
launder
your money.
That's not what I'm saying.
We definitely did not say that.
If there is a legal way to do that and help you, we're cool with that.
I watched Ozark and Breaking Bad. I'm still not exactly sure how to do that, but it just happens. It seems like just happens. But
right.
I'm not sophisticated enough to understand. Ifanboy.com/Amazon is where you can find our Booksplode links, as well as the general shopping link. Bookshop.org is our partner to help local bookstores. Every time you buy a book from those links that you'll find most of the Booksplode shows, you send money directly to local bookstores. I just bought a book and sent $4 to a local bookstore, and I felt happy about that. So not everyone in here is happy that more books keep arriving, but they do.
They do keep coming.
After a decade, you should be understanding that. They just keep coming.
They do. Like the mail. And I keep slowing down, and I feel like they're speeding up.
So thanks to everyone who supports the show in all the ways we just mentioned. Honestly, truly, we thank you. And honestly, truly, you help pay the bills. And honestly, truly, the show would not continue without you. So thank you. And speaking of patrons, every patron to the $5 or higher level gets a superpower live on the show, like James, the mysterious and single-named James. Could be anybody. Could be my high school best friend, James Kim. Maybe. I figured he would tell me if that was him, but
yeah,
could be James.
Make you famous.
Could be James Marsden. You know,
probably
maybe.
Not. Could
probably
be.
Not, but
it's unlikely.
You never know. There is at least one celebrity patron, which we will not name, but it's true. Yeah,
but I make sure to tell my wife every time.
Do that guy, James.
She still doesn't care. 18
James
years. Never
James superpower. Is sentient sideburns. You know, like Medusa's power with her hair. She can make it do shit and they can beat people up and grab them and stuff. James can do that, but only with his sideburn hair.
Uh-huh.
It gets long. It stretches out. It can grab like a cupcake from across the table, stuff it in his mouth. It can also give it a little smack.
What benefits does that offer over hands and arms?
Well, it can stretch way out. It can go long.
Okay, so it's further and it's extra appendages, obviously.
Yeah, it's not just the length of his actual sideburns. It's just, it stretches out.
Okay. Does it make that sound?
It could.
Does he has the option to make it make a sound or not?
It has to make the sound. It goes...
Do a side hit. So, like a Cthulhu kind of thing?
Yeah. He can climb. They can climb up a building. Like all kinds of stuff. All kinds of fun stuff.
All right.
So, James, enjoy your sentient sideburns.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. What do you think, boss? It's your show.
No, we gotta move along. Also, just for if you want to write in to us at contact@ifanboy, send us some emails. If you are a person who is out there who has been thinking about writing in for a while, you know, and never got around to it, take a shot. You don't know. Listen, not all of them are going to be winners, but maybe the thing that you think isn't a good question is a great question. I know there's somebody listening to this right now, and you've been thinking about writing in, or you had an idea or not, and you did I say idea? Jesus, I'm turning into an old Mainer. You had an idea. He had an idea or something over there. Just try it out. I mean, like we are never going to read an email that is bad and then make fun of you.
No, for never. Sending we've an never email. Done that. We might have done that once by accident. But.
Well, yeah, but like it was like playful ribbing.
Right. We'll playfully rib you as we do each other.
I mean, I would expect
this means you're part of the club.
Yes.
If we bust your balls, that means you're part of the club.
So give it a shot. I would love to see like a little influx of emails from people, I think. Okay.
Contact@ifanboy.com, as Josh just mentioned. You can also write it for our Media Splud show. Let's talk about other shows we've got. We have 2 weeks ago, we had our Flash and we had our Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse reviews. We got them both out on the same week, consecutive days. We got it done.
That's a first.
And so they're there. You can go back in the feed and find those. This past week, we just released the Media Splode show where we talked about the end of Ted Lasso, Barry, Succession, and The Flash, and as well as other things we always start the show with. And that was a fun show. That's right behind this one on the feed. This coming week, Josh, do we have it? Is it in the can?
No, it will be game time. It's supposed to. It's scheduled, but it's going to be the day before it comes out.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Well, if we have to swap the Booksplode and the Talksplode, we can do that. So we have also in 2 weeks of Booksplode, we're going to review It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth by Zoe Thorogood. We mentioned earlier in the show, or maybe that was, no, that wasn't the show. That wasn't before the show. Or was it before the show?
Oh, Zoe Thorogood. I was like, I didn't know why you pulled that name up so quickly, but I get it now.
Was that before the show we were talking about that?
No.
Oh, maybe. I don't remember anymore. It's so hot in this room. Hmm. So those shows are coming out in some order in the next 2 weeks. And then in 3 weeks, we'll be back with another Media Splode, which we haven't discussed because we just put the last one out. So once we know the topic, we'll let you know.
And we just put one out right before that.
Yeah. They just keep coming. And then... some point after that, it may not be the next week, but maybe the week after. Although no, it won't be because I'll be on vacation. We'll figure it out. Justice League War World, the next animated original film. The animated Brain Trust will be discussing that one. We're very excited for it.
What's nice about that is that's not my problem.
No, not your problem.
You can find our library of over 1,300 shows. Most of them were my problem. But there's a bunch that aren't. I'm pretty happy about that. Those are at the website ifanboy.com and in podcast apps and places and things like that. Follow us at ifanboy.com. What's wrong with me? I can't speak anymore and it's really bothering me. Follow us at ifanboycomics.com on Instagram to find out what the pick of the week is before the show.
Hold on. It's not ifanboycomics.com.
What did I just say? I can't speak.
You said follow us at ifanboycomics.com on Instagram. That is not the handle.
I know. I'm having.
You're having an issue.
Maybe. How long does propofol stick in your system?
Are you having a senior moment?
Kind of.
Is that your first senior moment?
No, no. I mean, honestly, I can't. People have heard it on the show as like I try to say a thing and I can't remember. Like my short-term memory is so bad now.
Ever since COVID, I've been having a real problem pulling out words and names and things.
I
keep blanking on things I wouldn't normally know, and I'm hoping that's something that will pass in the next few weeks. That's a problem.
Right. Yeah, no. Oh, I thought you meant, I thought you meant since the pandemic.
No, since I had COVID a month ago. I was in a meeting the other day and I was trying to say a term that we use all the time at work, and I was just like, it just wouldn't come. Mm-hmm. And I just need that to stop.
Yeah. This was a show.
It was a show.
I don't think it was a bad show, but it was a show.
Are you just giving up on the script?
No. Okay. iFanboy Comics on Instagram. You find out what the pick of the week is before the show comes out. And sometimes for the best of the week in panels, you can follow us individually at CS Kilpatrick on Instagram and J.A. Flanagan on Instagram. I let you down. I'm going to do the next bit too.
Okay.
You can subscribe to youtube.com/iFanboy where you will find all of our old video shows. And this show we post there every week. And for some reason, I honestly couldn't tell you why, you would rather listen to this show via YouTube. Maybe you've bought into
people do.
I get it. No, I know. I'm just saying I don't understand, but I don't judge. I don't condemn. But if that's what you want to do, the option is there. And it seems like many people want to take advantage of that. And God bless them.
It's the only way your kids might ever listen, Josh.
Consider writing a review or leaving a star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you want to thumbs up one of the YouTube videos, that's awesome too. I will say, I am loath to bring in new listeners at this point. You know what I mean? Like somebody's going to come in and go, I don't get this. And I'd be like, I don't blame you. You don't. I don't think you will.
People come in, offended. New listeners.
I know. I don't understand. Like if someone's like, I'll see my way out, like, have you ever walked into a store and like you got in there and you're just like, this is not for me. And the person there knows it. And mm-hmm. It's very like, all right. Yep. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. You know, that's what I picture. I don't understand.
What random stores are you walking into?
I don't know. It's not recently, honestly, I don't like that feeling. So I don't tend to go into random stores or restaurants for that matter, which is a problem.
Oh, we're
that's
done.
All.
Oh, it's my turn. You're done. Oh, you're done.
Yeah. No, we're done. I did it.
All right. Well, that was fun. That was an experience.
Now I'm going to need therapy.
You're definitely going to need to take advantage of our sponsor services. We'll be back next week with another exciting adventure. And my name is Connor.
And I'm Josh. Go be She-Hulk, man.